Once upon a time, in the beginning, this was and this was not. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the stories we tell shape our lives, our communities, and our world. Let's weave them together for strength, for hope, and for love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for The Link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front. Good morning to everybody in the playground. Lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. Midway through worship, kids are leaving for a project, and Sunday school starts next week. Speaking of Sunday school, we do godly play for ages 3 through grade 3, and we have a godly play info session next Sunday at noon, especially if you are new to FCC Natick or have never been in a godly play class. Come learn about this wonderful way of experiencing Bible stories. It's next Sunday at noon, and we've got just one more faith formation announcement this morning. Mark.
Yes, hi. My name's Mark Dixon, and I just wanted to let you know that this year is an on year for OWL. You may already know or may not that we teach the OWL curriculum here every other year, so this is an on year. The OWL program, OWL stands for Our Whole Lives, and is the sexuality educational program that we provide to our young people, specifically 7th and 8th graders here at FCC. If you have a 7th or 8th grader, you should have received an email from Sarah Lynn inviting you to consider joining this really a gift of a program for our youth, and to attend the mandatory parent meeting that's going to be on October 7th. If you have a 7th or 8th grader and did not get the email, please let me know. This program is taught by Sarah Lynn and myself, so if you have any questions, you can ask either one of us. I also want to say that this year, Sarah Lynn is reaching out to other congregations and trying to widen this program to other youth and offer it to them beyond just our doors. We have room. I taught this class last year in Arlington, and there was 20 kids in the class. That was a little too big for my taste, but we got through it. But we definitely have more room here. In that vein, if you know parents in the community who have 7th and 8th graders and have been thinking about, you know, I wish there was some type of class for this for my youth, please tell them that we do this here, okay? We do it every other year, specifically for 7th and 8th graders. If their kids are in 4th, 5th, and 6th, and they're thinking about it, let them know, because it comes up really quick. There is a mandatory meeting on October 7th, as I said. And the last thing I want to say is just, again, it's really a gift to our youth. My daughter took this class, and I was immediately, you know, impressed with it. And it is a comprehensive program. I brought this giant binder up here for a visual. This is just 7th and 8th grade, and it's over 400 pages. The Our Whole Lives program runs from kindergarten to seniors. We implement the 7th and 8th grade curriculum here.
When you say seniors, do you mean seniors in high school?
I mean seniors.
You mean
like
elders.
Seniors, yes.
You mean like us.
OWL, as you know, mentions that we are sexual beings from the time we are born.
That's right.
Until the time we die. So it's a large curriculum. It's nationwide. And I just want to leave you with three sentences that open the curriculum to give you a sense.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say sentence number one. I'm going to step back, Mark.
You're fine. Okay, here we go. Just to give you a flavor. Parents, guardians, educators, and religious communities all face the challenge of creating environments that support and nurture sexual health. Young people need sexuality education programs that model and teach caring, compassion, respect, and justice. Such programs should be holistic, moving beyond the intellect, beyond the birds and the bees and things they may learn in health class in school, to address the attitudes, values, and feelings that youth have about themselves and the world. So that is OWL. It's a program whose entire point is to put young people on the pathway to becoming sexually healthy adults, to give them the tools, the voice, and the agency to become sexually healthy adults. So
amen.
Thank you. If you have any questions, me or Sarah.
Amen. Now, Mark said that session is mandatory, but Mark, what if somebody wants information and isn't sure if their youth is going to participate? Can they still come to the info session? And Mark, what if, so yes was a great answer to that. And Mark, if somebody wants more information but maybe isn't available or isn't sure they can commit to that, could they come see you for more information? Yes was also a great answer to that question. Thank you, Mark. Mark is a fabulous evangelist for our whole lives, if you'd like to know more about it. How many people in the room have had kids participate in this program? I have. We've got other hands. You can also see us. We would love to tell you about the impact on our young people. All right. Moving on, we got more fun and enrichment coming up this week. We have intergenerational apple picking coming up next Saturday at 2 o'clock. We've got Lunch Bunch this Thursday at 12:30. And we've got a book group field trip to hear Liz Walker in Wellesley on Tuesday. But first, today is Rally Day. Woo! Partway through worship, kids up through grade 6 leave for a special project. And after worship, for those on site, Sunday school registration and ice cream down in the vestry. Beloved, as we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath, for real, breathe. Relaxing your shoulders. Even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah Beth. Please join me in the call of worship. And your response is, "Hear the story of God's love." Come on in, gather around, hear the story of God's love. Draw up close to the welcoming fire. Hear the story of God's love. Lean in close and breathe in deep. Hear the story of God's love. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 12, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." You are invited to stand in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
I would forget. Our Centenary prayer begins with just a bit of quiet. We do need a break from the endless flow of words to see what new story might arise. Try to make your mind a blank page and breathe. Let us pray. Creative God, write a new story for us. Write a new story in us. Write a new story with us, that this precious and fragile world might finally become the kingdom of justice and peace you envisioned in the beginning. The beloved community Jesus brought close when he taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It takes 1/10 of a second to judge each other. That's what research finds. We react to facial appearance and body language, and we decide we know all we need to know about someone in a glance, 1/10 of a second long. That does not seem to be working so very well for the world right now. So, as we share God's peace this morning, let's try to look at each other for maybe 2 whole full seconds. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. Folks at home, we see the light in God in you too. God's peace be with you.
As we get ready to sing our song of celebration, any kids who want to come sit down front to watch the drums be played during our choir anthem are welcome to do so.
Thank you. Wow, was that amazing? Here's a plug for the choir. We have a really good time in the choir, so anybody who's a singer out there who wants to join us, we do rehearse on Thursday evenings, and we are here every Sunday, so come join us. Give it a try. But right now, I am here to talk about faith formation. My name is Sarah Lynn Keller, and I am your Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care. And I love that title because it says so much about this congregation. It sounds like we're not just here to spout off somebody else's words. We have a vitality in our spiritual growth here, both for our children and for our adults. And so I am so, so pleased to be here to lift that up and to lift up the people who are a part of this program in our church. Here at FCC Natick, we believe that we are all engaged in ministry, every single one of us. But today, we recognize a particular group of people engaged in a very particular ministry. Today, we acknowledge the gift of time, energy, and love of all the nursery volunteers and child caregivers, the godly place storytellers and greeters, the connect leaders, and the youth group leaders. This group of people gives the priceless gift of discovery to our children and our youth. The time that they spend together building relationships and getting to know one another, as well as time spent in encountering the sacred, is an essential element in our children's and youth's development. And we really believe that here. Many of our faith formation team are here today, and I would ask, when I call your name, if you're here, please stand up so you can be acknowledged. But there are also many of them who are not here, who couldn't be with us today. So the list of volunteers is printed in your bulletin. It's on the screen. I'm gonna read that list. But I ask you to keep the entire team in your thoughts and prayers. And so please stand. Michelle Brewer, Beth Canterbury, Lynn Carricker, Robin Clausen, Amy Corbin, Mark Dixon, Gretchen Dubois, Rick Dubois, Amy Foley, Chris Gentry, Sarah Beth Guptill, Sarah Hanna, Justin Keir, Kirsten McDonough, Lane McDonough, Donald McLaren, Bill Ramage, Gwen Ramage, Rick Ripley, Grace Psyche, Heather Psyche, Mara Shaughnessy, Alyssa Springer, Jessica Treadwell, Isla Van Giel, Pam Wiegraff, and Carrie Westberg, and anybody else who I forgot. Thank you for the gifts that you bring to our children. We are so fortunate at FCC Natick to have this active, vital program of faith formation for children and youth. And on behalf of the entire congregation, I thank you. So we need each and every one of you to make this outstanding ministry what it is. Today, we want to commission you with our support and the support of the Holy Spirit. So if the congregation would please rise as you are able and join me in the response printed in your bulletin and on the screens. We believe that the Spirit of God moves in each one, no matter how young we are or how old we grow. God is as close as the air around us, just waiting for us to breathe in. No one needs to learn how to breathe. It is how we are made. It is language that we must learn, the language of God's great love story with the world, the language of prayer, the language of care, the language of selflessness. We will seek to be a community where everyone is welcome and everyone can experience the love of God. We make this promise with God and with each other as we strive to follow the way of Jesus Christ, our teacher. Amen. You can sit down.
This fall, our worship services are focusing on the story of the biggest hero of the Hebrew. You can just stand beside me. Just, yeah, we're good. This fall, our worship services are focused on the story of the biggest hero in the Hebrew Bible. If you were here last week, do you remember who that was? Moses. And if you were here last week, do you remember the story we told? Moses' birth. Very good, Sarah Lynn. The Egyptians were killing the Hebrew babies, which was bad. So Moses' mother, who was Hebrew, set him adrift in a basket on the Nile River, where an Egyptian princess was bathing. She was probably hoping the princess would rescue him. The princess did actually adopt Moses. She sent him to live for a few years with his bio mom, then brought him to the castle to raise him as a prince of Egypt. That was from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. This week, we're heading into chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So from chapter 2 to chapter 3, just one chapter later. But so much has happened in Moses' life since he was born. One day, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Bad. Moses was upset at the abuse, which is understandable, and he killed the Egyptian. That was wrong. He acted out of anger and power rather than compassion and care. Moses thought nobody knew, but words spread. So then the king, the Pharaoh, wanted to kill Moses. Moses ran away to a place called Midian, where he met a man named Jethro and married Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. Meanwhile, back in Egypt, slavery was getting worse. And that's where this morning's passage picks up. Sarah Beth will read it for us.
Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush, and he looked at the bush, and it was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And then God said, "Oh, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said further, "I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them. Amen.
Sorry. Okay. All right. We have some third graders here that I know of, and we may have more, but these are the ones I know of. So if Galen and Ethan and Nicholas can come forward. Come on up here. Come on. All right. So we've got Ethan and Nicholas. Do you want to stand right here in between us? Thank you. Okay. All right. Nice.
We well done. Study Bible stories in Sunday school. Adults.
You didn't hear that, sorry. We study Bible stories in Sunday school. Adults tell these stories through fun activities and pictures, and sometimes straight from the Bible itself. Now, my friends, as you are getting older, your life of biblical exploration, of studying the Bible, has not ended, but the responsibility has shifted. Who's in charge is changing. With the gift of these Bibles from FCC Natick, you can now use your own thoughts, your own questions, and your own faith to decide what this book means to you. We encourage you to read it, to make notes in it, to bookmark it, to talk about it. This Bible is yours to use as a tool in your lifelong journey of faith. Wherever this journey takes you, remember that your church family loves you and supports you. Let these Bibles serve as a symbol of that connection. Congratulations.
Ethan, this Bible is for you. And Nicholas, this Bible is for you. Okay. All right, now, do you see there's a bookmark in your Bible? All right. You are going to, well, first, we have some work to do. First, we have a blessing to do. And we don't do the blessing on our own. We need your help, too. So get your blessing hands ready, everyone. And you're going to put them out here. And here is our blessing for you and your Bibles. God of all wonder, throughout time we have sought to capture you in words spoken aloud and written down. In poetry, history, law, and letter, your children tell the story of your love. Some of those stories we pass on in the Bible, like the ones given to these young people this morning. May we and they encounter you in this text, wrestle to find meaning and guidance, and use our minds and our hearts to find you in these pages, between the lines and in our very lives. God of love, bless Ethan and Nicholas and the Bibles that they hold, and walk with them all the way on their journey of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you're going to open up your Bible where there's a bookmark, and can you see that there's some words down here that are highlighted? Okay, it's very small, but if you can read up there, you can read it there too. So we're going to all read this together. This is a passage from Jeremiah that always strikes me as a good way for someone just receiving their new Bible to think on and to read out loud. So will you help them to read these words together? From Jeremiah 29. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find you. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me,
says the Lord. Amen.
All right. Okay.
Now up through grade six are heading off with Sarah Lynn for a project. While they go, Elaine's going to play some beautiful music. Let's all clap as well for our Bible guys. So yesterday, I ditched the sermon planned for today. I was pretty bummed to do so because today's scripture passage is one of my favorites in the whole Bible, and I especially had this whole thing worked out for me and Sarah Beth to teach the passage together. Certain events of the week kept pressing on me. Now, pastors cannot dump every sermon when something happens in the news because something is always happening in the news. We need to stay focused on a bigger picture. We have to look for connections and things like that. But I kept working and reworking worship until I was making myself miserable and thinking I was going to make you miserable too, until the idea occurred to me of letting go of the sermon I was working on and write a story instead. such a feeling of relief came over me that I decided to listen to that. So since our focus this fall is on stories, I decided at least it fits in a little bit. And this story came out of a conversation with my friend and colleague, Greg Morrissey, from Plymouth Church in Framingham. Earlier this week, Charlie Kirk arrived in heaven. Now, I don't know for sure what happens after we die. Nobody does. But I do believe that there is something, and it is beautiful, and everybody is there. That might not be what you believe. That might not be what Charlie believed, but it's what I believe. So earlier this week, Charlie Kirk arrived in heaven. If you don't know who Charlie Kirk is, God bless you. He was a political activist, some might say extremist, who loudly and repeatedly made statements that go against the values of this church, statements I consider racist, sexist, and homophobic. He called himself a Christian, but he preached a Christianity that I believe is in direct contrast to the Jesus I follow and the God I believe in. Charlie was tragically assassinated this week by a white male U.S. citizen, possibly because Charlie was not racist enough, but it's too soon to draw conclusions. His murder is wrong on every level, and I mourn for his family. His death has created another round of chaos in this country I truly don't understand, but feels really scary. So now you know a little bit about who Charlie Kirk is. And earlier this week, Charlie Kirk arrived in heaven. First things first, the angels ministered to him, helping him through the shock of transition and showing him how they will care for his children throughout their lives. Charlie was certainly surprised to have died, but not particularly surprised to be in heaven. How could he expect to be anywhere else, basically a Christian martyr at this point? From the outset, heaven wasn't quite what he expected, though. There was a distinct lack of pearly gates and streets of gold. There was more of a summer camp feel, rustic cabins and fire pits. And the crowd wasn't quite what Charlie expected either. James Dobson was there, of course, still settling in. Pat Robertson was toasting marshmallows. But there was a man writing furiously who looked a lot like that black gay writer, James Baldwin. And was that a Muslim woman bowing down in prayer? Charlie started to wonder if maybe this wasn't heaven after all. Perhaps he was just in a coma and this was a fever dream. Then an angel glided up beside him. "Nope, this is heaven," they said to Charlie, reading his mind. And I'm no mind reader, but perhaps you would be hoping that bigotry would have no place in heaven, that Charlie would arrive with a clear understanding of how beautiful and beloved all of creation is. That's a good story too. But in this story, maybe it takes a few days for the endless dividing and categorizing of the human experience to fade away. Or maybe heaven keeps some of those tendencies for creative tension, so we finally work out some of the issues we didn't heal in this lifetime. At any rate, Charlie was realizing heaven wasn't living up to his expectations. But Charlie figured this was just another opportunity. Sprinkled through the summer camp heaven were appropriately plenty of picnic tables. The only difference was in heaven they weren't covered in bird poop and pine pitch. Charlie went to the craft cabin, got himself some construction paper and markers, and picked out a picnic table right in the center of the action. He sat down behind a table tent bearing the same words he brought to so many public gatherings on earth: "Prove me wrong." Charlie was ready to go. If homosexuality and Islam were a threat to the United States, surely they were a threat to heaven. And what else might be lurking up here? Next, he'd find out there were women in charge. Clearly, Charlie had arrived at heaven just in time. Apparently, liberals had started poisoning the afterlife, too. Forget debating on college campuses. Charlie had to start a movement in heaven. He'd have to track down his mentor, Bill Montgomery. Hopefully, he'd already begun pulling people together. But first, Charlie needed his fuel, the stuff that lit him up. that gave him the energy to do his work. He needed somebody to try to prove him wrong. There certainly were plenty of people around. They weren't lining up like they usually did, though. Then there was a stirring in the camp. Someone was coming Charlie's way, walking straight and steady on a mission. Somehow Charlie knew. It was Jesus. Charlie was thrilled. He'd considered himself one of Jesus' best evangelists, making sure people didn't turn Jesus into some soft and sensitive brown-skinned empath. Jesus was a warrior who fought for the truth and wasn't afraid to die for what he believed in, just like Charlie. So Charlie scooted over on his side of the picnic bench. Jesus would sit beside him and they would join forces to fix heaven. Charlie would change the sign to read, "Prove us wrong." Then Jesus sat across from Charlie. There was a stirring in the crowd. It looked like Jesus was going to take Charlie up on the invitation to debate, and the crowd was eager. Again, you might think people in heaven would be a bit beyond this, but there were trans folks in the crowd who still bore the scars of Charlie's words. Women who had died because their doctors were afraid to perform an abortion. Kids whose deaths by guns had been dismissed by Charlie as an acceptable cost. They would very much like Jesus to prove Charlie wrong. Jesus opened his mouth to speak, and everybody leaned in. "How are you doing, Charlie?" he quietly asked. Nobody was satisfied with that opener, least of all Charlie. Charlie launched into a lecture about all the problems he'd spotted in Scripture and how in heaven and how they contradicted Scripture. About half of his sentence started with, "What about?" When he finally paused, there was just silence. Everybody in heaven knew that Jesus had an answer to every single statement Charlie made. Jesus and the other wise ones filled heaven with teaching that was beyond earthly comprehension. Jesus could have easily shut down every argument Charlie made and made him look foolish in the process. Everybody in heaven was kind of looking forward to that, honestly. "Tell me about your kids, Charlie," was all Jesus said in response. Ah, thought the crowd. Crafty Jesus. He's not gonna get into debate with Charlie. He knows Charlie isn't interested in an exchange of ideas. It's a gotcha display to put on a show. Instead, Jesus was going to do the thing Charlie hates. He's going to show empathy. Talk to Charlie about those kids he loves. He's gonna kill Charlie with kindness. Jesus, who, like the angels, could read minds, looked at the crowd. "Give it a rest, people," he said. Jesus wasn't there to debate Charlie, or judge Charlie, or show Charlie the error of his ways. The picnic table Charlie sat at in heaven wasn't like the tables he sat at during his life, a place for debate and division. These were Jesus's tables, places for discovery and understanding, for connection and healing. These tables were holy ground. People sat down at them in heaven all the time with different views on things, but not to prove each other wrong. Instead, they came with curiosity, asked questions, sought understanding, even found some common ground. They didn't always agree, but they listened and learned and grew closer to each other instead of keeping score. I'd like to say Charlie adjusted to Jesus' picnic tables right away, but I think it will take some time. It's okay. He has eternity. And every time he sits down at a table and sets up his "prove me wrong" sign, Jesus will sit across from him and say, "Charlie, how you doing?" Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Sarah Beth.
I have joy that Mark and Peter joined the choir today. Nice to have them here. And my youngest is here today.
So it was such a joy to have Mark and Peter providing percussion for the choir today. Huge gratitude to both of them for doing that, and Elaine for organizing that. Sarah Beth is also lifting up her joy of having Mai here, but I just think if you bring that up, it's gonna make Mai less likely to come back. So, I gotcha. Okay. Other joys. Doug. So Sarah has had cataracts removed from both of her eyes, and Doug has promised to not play any tricks on her over the next few weeks when she really can't see anything. And they are going to be grandparents again. Will and Lisa are expecting. Congratulations. Yeah. Other joys. Decalyn? Oh, I'm so sorry, Mom. Yeah. Beth is lifting up the joy of the extremely normal experience of Declan playing soccer. So joyful to just have a very normal experience, not a trip to a doctor, just a soccer game, and gratitude to everybody who gives their time to those kind of youth activities. Thanks, Beth. Yeah. Wayne. So Wayne and Jeanette got married when they were 4, and they are celebrating their 52nd wedding anniversary tomorrow. Congratulations. Super happy for you. June, do you have any joys up there? I missed another one. Who did I miss? Heather. Yeah. Heather is lifting up the joy of previous Our Whole Lives leaders who have helped their children navigate relationships, which is part, well, I'm not going to give that speech right now, but yes, we're so glad that it has impacted the full lives of our young people. Thanks, Heather. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Lorraine. This is Lorraine's joy. Well, it's Lorraine's joy is that her daughter is in Africa and that she's going to get a beautiful calendar this Christmas with great pictures, and Lorraine is also jealous. So, traveling mercies for her. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yes, Steve. Prayers for Ralph, who was a soloist here about 20 years ago, who died, did you say just yesterday? So prayers, gratitude for Ralph's life and the extra song in heaven today. Thanks, Steve. Doug.
Continued prayers for recovery. This is long overdue.
So we're hoping. So is her. So we're holding in our prayers. We were talking about Will and Lisa, who are expecting. Lisa's mom suffered a severe stroke, and so we're sending prayers for healing and wellness for Lisa's mom and support for the whole family in the midst of that. Thanks, Doug. Dee Dee. Dee Dee's lifting up the 12-year-old who was injured in the school shooting at Annunciation, who is showing some signs of recovery. I think we use that as a symbol for all people who are in school shootings who maybe don't lose their lives, but still are injured, deal with trauma, all kinds of things. We hold them in our prayers, too. Thanks, Dee Dee. June. Let us come to Pam. Then let's talk about it after, and I'll get it afterwards. Is that okay? Know that all prayers, that God is holding all of our prayers, and all of our prayers are in our hearts. Sometimes when we can't find the words, that hand over the heart works just as well. So Pam, would you do me a favor? As we come into prayer, would you hold your hands over your heart in particular? Let us pray. Brother Jesus, sit across the table from us, not to debate us, not to judge us, not to correct us, not to prove us wrong, just to love us, just to know us, just to be with us. Then help us to do the same with each other, if it is safe. And if it is not, bring us to tables where it is, so we can be held and healed. Amen. Century lawyer and journalist Albert Pike said, "What we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal. May we live immortal lives, having given with our hearts and our hands to make this world a place of peace and justice. We practice immortality in this very place, this very hour, as we participate in the morning offering."
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the lives that need them. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 4, Come Living God When Least Expected. You may be seated. The world is telling a story of brokenness, hopelessness, violence, division. We have another story, God's story, a story of hope, justice, connection, love. Let's go together to spread that whole and healing story. And it will change us and the world. Go in peace. Amen.